I wonder if you ever think back and remember when you were younger whether there was anybody that you wished you could be. You know, if you had a kind of hero or someone that you really thought, oh, I really wish I was him, or I really wish I was her. As I look back on my young days, there was a footballer that I really wished I could be. You probably haven't heard of him because he's so good. He was called Jim Baxter, and he played for Rangers, my team, and he played for Scotland. And he scored the two goals that Scotland scored to beat England at Wembley. It's a long time ago, as you can imagine. But he kicked with his left foot like I did, and I just wished I could have been him and played like him, but obviously I couldn't be. The other person that I really wished I could have been was Jack Nicklaus. You probably heard of him, the golfer. Because I always imagine what it must be like to walk down the last fairway at St Andrews with the crowds all around and wave. He had a special way of waving to them. And I wish that I could do that and I could be like him. Is there someone that maybe you wish that you could have been? But then I remember that on a number of occasions, my mom used to say to me, especially if I was involved with exams or something like that, she would say to me, Jim, be who you are. Just be who you are. Be yourself. You're not meant to be anybody else. You're not even meant to be like anybody else. And that's the essence of what Jesus is saying in that passage that I read to you a few minutes ago from Matthew chapter 5. It's the end of the Beatitudes part of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is saying, this is how you can find joy. This is the way to joy. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, and so on. And then after that, he says to his followers, this is who you are. Be who you are. And what he says is, you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. And I think it's really powerful. Because Jesus is not just expressing a kind of hope. I hope you'll be the salt of the earth. I hope you'll be the light of the world. He's saying that with these Beatitudes on board and our character in place, we will be salt and light. And so the question is, what kind of salt and what kind of light? Because the implication he gives is that the salt can be ineffective because it's been corrupted by other things. And the light can be ineffective if it's not shining brightly enough and in the right place. Jesus wants us to be salt of the earth and light in the world. And I want to suggest this morning there's a bit that's negative and a bit that's positive, and I want to come back to that a little bit later. And I want to share three principles with you about being who we are. First of all, we are to be different. Different. Jesus implies by what he says that the world is characterized by decay and by darkness. How do you react to that? I believe that at the beginning of the 20th century, there was a great, tremendous optimism. It was going to be the century of hope, of progress, of advancement, when the world would get better and better and better. And of course there was progress, but there also was so much despair and disillusionment. Someone has put it like this, let me share this with you. We've been able to put men on the moon, but we haven't been able to put food in the stomachs of millions of the world's poor. We've developed communications to the extent that the sky is full of satellites. You can talk to people as we are now through the computer system. And everywhere now someone has a mobile phone. But families are breaking up because husbands and wives don't talk anymore. We've developed a standard of living which for most of us is comfortable. Not a lot of life's necessities that we lack. Yet there are millions of people right now who feel they don't have enough. Who've paid money into a lottery which has made a few people very rich. And which panders to the idea that riches bring happiness. And has caused charities sometimes to struggle. We've developed a system of social welfare and health that would have been unthinkable in Victorian times. Yet for thousands of people, home tonight will be a bench in a park or a shop doorway in a town or a tent set up in a makeshift way. And for others, suffering and pain will go on because there are no beds available in hospitals and no money available for the treatment. People are told there's so much to live for, but tell that to those who are hooked on drugs or alcohol or gambling or pornography. Tell it to those young people in the 16 to 25 age range for whom the largest single group, who make up the largest single group of those committing suicide in the Western world. Decay, darkness. You're right, Jesus, aren't you? You're right. And if it was true of the world of Jesus' day, how much more is it true in ours? Somebody needs to make a difference. And Jesus says, that someone's you. And that someone's me. Called to be different. Great preacher of the last century, Martin Lloyd-Jones, said, the glory of the gospel is that when the church is absolutely different from the world, it invariably attracts it. When the church is different from the world, it invariably attractive. He says it's then that the world is made to listen to our message, though it may hate it at first. Now I would want to add this morning that so often the tragedy of the church in these days in which we are living now is that so often we are indistinguishable from the world. And we're having no effect because we're not different. Another Baptist preacher, Stephen Gottroger, in writing on this passage said that he's worried about the number of secret disciples. Those who are happy to come to worship on a Sunday, who may come to the prayer meeting or belong to a house group or a youth group, but at school or college or at work, no one would ever know they were Christians. They make the mistake of thinking that because their faith is personal, it can also be private. And then he says this, either their secrecy will destroy their faith, or their faith will destroy their secrecy. Called to be different. Called to be who we are, salt and light, different in our priorities. God is first in our lives, different in our relationships. We're loyal and we're faithful, different in our attitudes. We have a care and a concern for others, different in our morality. We accept God's standards as laid down in his word in the Bible, resisting the pressure to adapt and accept that times have changed, different in our use of our resources and the care of our planets. The only way to stop the rot and pierce the darkness is to be different this morning. That's the challenge of Jesus when he says that we are to be who we are. The influence we exert, the challenge this morning, are we different enough yet? Are we different enough? And then secondly, The implication of what Jesus is saying is that we are to be out there. Out there. Called upon to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And the thing is that the salt and the light have to be out in the world. They don't wait for the world to come to them. Do you get what I mean? I suppose we can imagine the most comfortable place for the salt is to be in the salt cellar, in the company of the rest of the salt. But in the salt cellar, the salt isn't doing or being what it's meant to do or be. And all around the country just now, there are thousands of grains of salt meeting together. And that's good, and it's really important. And we might be thinking, oh, it's nice to be here, to be together, to be with one another. Isn't it lovely to meet all the old salts again? But if we stay only with the salt, we've missed the point of our influence. We're called upon to be out there making a difference where people are. Many years ago, I read a book that really had a big impact on my life and on my ministry. It was by a man called Peter Wagner. And he was talking about church growth and how churches can grow. And he said something that when I read it, I really thought, this is really weird. But then I thought about it a bit more. He said this, that the most effective witnesses for Jesus are not those who know their Bibles best or know the doctrines, have all the answers, say the most beautiful prayers. The most effective witnesses for Jesus, listen, are those who have been Christians for less than 2 years. Less than 2 years. And the reason they give is that it is in those first 2 years that most of us have our non-Christian contacts, and they're still there. And as time goes on and we go on in our Christian lives, it all revolves around the church. It all revolves around what's happening. Our social life revolves around our church activities. Our circle of friends becomes almost exclusively Christians. Now, it's a generalization, and I know you might want to argue with it, and there may be exceptions to it, but there's some kind of truth. There's safety in fellowship. And I don't think we should neglect coming together to worship and pray. And I want us obviously to establish Christian friendships. But the danger is we forget or we neglect that we are meant to be salt and light. That's who we are out there in the world. If I can be personal for a moment or two, as I look back on more than 50 years now in my ministry, I realize that so much of my own time and energy and dedication was focused on what was happening in the church. The pastoral care, the preaching, the teaching, the admin, all the things focused on the church. And my main group of friends and contacts were in the church. And that's true for just about everyone in ministry. Maybe a little bit different for Jane, who still has her work and her other job. But that's where my focus was. And that meant that we had to depend on the people who are not me to be out there and making the contacts and reaching others. And unless you are out there in the world but not of it, with people who are not yet Christians, with a longing to win them for Jesus, we're not being who we are meant to be. Unless we are shining in the darkness, no one will notice the light. If you light a candle in the sunshine, no one will notice. But if we light it in the pitch darkness, everyone can see. Think about it for a minute. Jesus. Jesus was often found in places religious people didn't go to. He was seen with people. He went to parties. He went to weddings. He mixed with the people religious people didn't mix with. But listen, he was always Jesus. And although Jesus mixed, Jesus didn't merge. Can you see the difference? Be who you are. He was there to make a difference. And God needs his people to be out there in the world, in business, in politics, in clubs, in societies, in sport and leisure. But he wants you to be salt and light out there, having an influence, making a difference. Because when Jesus went to these places and met with these people, things happened. Lives were touched and lives were changed. And then lastly, if we're to be who we are, we are to be both positive and negative. I mentioned this earlier, and I just want to come back to it before we come and take communion together. Jesus didn't ever choose a picture or a word at random. He was also always very careful. And so the salt is negative. It stops the rot. The light is positive. It pierces the darkness. And sometimes we can be a little bit afraid of being negative. And I know that we must avoid being simply known for the things we don't do or want to stop. Killjoy Christianity is a turn-off. But there's a need to tackle and reverse some of the trends in our society. If we're going to stop the rot in situations of injustice, bias against the poor, glorification of immorality, pandering to greed, bigotry and intolerance, manipulation by the media, corruption of the young, so many things, we need to stand as salt to seek to stop the rot. Think about it. If that hadn't happened in the past, there would have been no abolition of the slave trade. There would have been no reform of child labor laws. There would have been no reform of our prisons. No dismantling of apartheid. And sometimes we have to be negative so that the positive can come. Being salt sometimes means saying, enough is enough. Enough is enough. But we also need to be prepared to be light. And that means being positive, advocating and living by the Christian values and family life, in marriage, in morality, in work, in our social contacts, in the use of our resources, showing that it works, this thing. That joy and peace come through living in the way Jesus wants us to. And in that way, we are light in the world. D.L. Moody, the evangelist, again from a bygone era, said this: we are told to let our light shine. And if it does, we won't need to tell anybody it does. He says, lighthouses don't fire cannons to call attention to their shining. They just shine. They just shine. But we also need to shine by our words. Can't assume that people will know we are Christians just by our lifestyle. At some point we need to articulate it. This is what I believe. This is why I live the way I do. And in so doing, we are who we are. We become light in the world, a positive influence, a positive witness. And that should be who we are. I don't know how you feel about this, but it seems to me that it's just very practical, but also very demanding. Salt and light, stopping the rot, piercing the darkness. Different, because we're dedicated. Out there, and not just here in the salt cellar. Positive and negative. These are the influences Jesus calls us to exert. This morning, and each morning, be who you are. Be who you are. Salt of the earth and the light of the world.